always hard to talk about the Trinity on Trinity Sunday and not make it just a lesson about doctrine. So I want to talk about it in a little different way.
If you search for tenderness, it isn't hard to find. You can have the love you need to live. But if you look for truthfulness, you might just as well be blind. It always seems to be so hard to give. Honesty is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard, and mostly what I need from you.
How many have heard that song before? Yeah, right. In 1978, Billy Joel released his album 52nd Street with this song, Honesty. The words almost seem to describe his life caught in a love triangle of untruthfulness or dishonesty. Even though there is a feeling of love and tenderness, the honesty and the truthfulness are gone. They're destroyed. He can't find it. He longs for both honesty and truth in love. The song won him 2 Grammys. Being as popular and award-winning as it was, it seems spoken to the lives of those who did the judging. Obviously, he won awards. And I think it was popular because it speaks to the lives and relationships of many people. The lyrics ring true. Although he may be singing of some love triangle, I wonder how many of us have had similar experiences and feeling about honesty and truth and love. Honesty could go a long way in the world today. Truth as well. That someone is honest and truthful in this world is almost impossible to find. The best we can say is honesty to a degree. And truth is at best partial, if not convenient to the personal goals of the person talking or telling the story. We search for something. We search for someone who is honest, someone who we can rely on, someone who is truthful, especially as the song sings, when it comes to love and relationships. We can all relate to the broken heart of love, the dishonesty of lies, and even our most trusted friends have at times proven themselves to be untruthful and dishonest, and it hurts. It's in our very nature to both love, and it's in our nature to trust, so that we can spend our lives searching to put that trust and love in someone that we consider to be truthful and honest. I would even go so far as to say that there can be no true love and tenderness unless there is honesty and truth. When you know someone who is honest and truthful, you probably accept that whatever that person does to you and with you is done in love, even if what they say or do just might hurt you temporarily. Take parents, for instance. Parents correct their children. They may be angry, but they will most likely tell their children the truth. Don't do that, or else. Be careful there, because that's going to... So they're honest and truthful. And still, even in this, they show their love. Even though the child rebels and says, you don't love me because you don't let me do this or that. Their honesty prevents accidents. Well, truth be told, however, even that parent-child relationship in some families can lack honesty and truthfulness, and it can lack love as well. The dysfunctional relationship between people, yes, even among members of the same family unit, describes our relationships perfectly. Who we are at our core, dishonest, untruthful, unloving. The song describes our human nature to a T, so much so that it wins awards for its honest description of the love triangle in human relationships. Our honesty can waver, can't it? We're tempted to lie to protect ourselves. We can negotiate truth to our advantage to get what we want. And love can be selfish, wanting only to take and not to give. We love because of what we give out, get out of it, not necessarily what we give the other person. That's our relationship with those around us. But what about our relationship with God? Has God ever been dishonest, lied, or deceived you? Scripture reveals to us that God is honest and that God is truthful and that God is love. At times you may wonder where his love is. You may not feel it in life, but by faith, we as Christians trustingly know that he is loving. We know that his promise is, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And as Paul says, nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. God is honest, and he can be trusted. Sometimes, though, you may question the truthfulness of this love as he reveals himself in Scripture. Sometimes to us, he seems to be doing the opposite of loving. He judges, he condemns, he punishes sin with death. How can that be love? But his love and his tenderness are encased within his honesty and truth. In fact, Scripture reveals to us that God, in his very core and in everything that he does, as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, is truth and love. He doesn't represent truth and love. He is truth and love. That's tough to understand. The Father is love and truth. The Son is love and truth. And the Holy Spirit is love and truth. It's a part of God's essence. It's a part of his being. It's a part of being the triune God. In other words, he cannot act in any other way except in truth and in love and in honesty. To overlook sins by his creation would be dishonest, untruthful. But to act like a father, it would not be like himself to not love. Truth, honesty, and love separable from him. It's sort of like what we do in our family as a joke. We use kind of the dictionary thing, right? So Becky's dressed in, you know, to the nines, and we're going to a party, or it can be one of the kids, and we'll say, wow, Mom, you look beautiful. If you look up beautiful in the dictionary, it says, see Mom. And if you look up Mom in the dictionary, it says, see beautiful. In other words, they're synonymous terms. And maybe you've come across that in the dictionary where it says, see this passage, because it's the same thing. Well, if you looked up God, it would say, see love and truth and honesty. And you look, if you looked up either love or honesty or truth, it would say, see God. In other words, they're synonymous in action and in essence. On the other hand, if you looked up Greg, in the dictionary, it would say, see, sometimes loving, partially truthful, conveniently honest. If you looked up trustworthy, it would not say, see Greg. If you looked up love, it would not say, see Greg. You can put your own name in there. Look it up in the dictionary. See if there's an entrance for it. In other words, God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are the definition of honesty and truth and love. In other words, if you're looking for love, honesty, and truth, you won't find it anywhere except in God. God wants us to find him in searching for truth and love and honesty in life. Only he embodies that truth. Only he embodies that love, and he does so in all three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as he's revealed himself in Scripture. And that's how we begin talking about the Holy Trinity, is by how people have experienced him in honesty, love, and truth for the last 5,000 years as his revelation unfolded. So when we see that God, Heavenly Father, reveals himself in his wrath against sin, it does not mean he is unloving. Rather, he is honest, and he is truthful, and he is righteous, and cannot allow his creation to trust and follow after something that's going to ultimately lead to their eternal death. Nor will he tolerate us finding meaning and joy and happiness in anything other than him. Exodus tells us he's a jealous God. Not jealous in the way we think of it in a love triangle, but jealous meaning he wants to be the one who fills your life with his love. He wants to be the one who speaks you the truth. He wants to be the one in whom you find complete honesty. Something we seem to always refuse as we look elsewhere in life for love, truth, and honesty. This is God and his honesty and truth, hating and punishing sin. If you continue ignoring him, unrepentant, if you turn away from him, hoping to find someplace else in all the wrong places, another great song, his truth and honesty brings judgment. But his truth and honesty in punishing sin is done in love. What? How can we understand that? Suffering and pain in this world is not because of his lack of love, rather because we are far from him and have sought it someplace else. But he's patient, Paul tells us in Romans. He uses these experiences in our lives, our heartbreaks, our pain, our suffering, our wandering, to bring us back to him so that we finally are led to rely upon him when he discloses through his word and his sacraments that he is to be trusted. To him you go for love, and he is truthful. It's not until you hit rock bottom sometimes before you see this as the only source of love and truth. And when we realize we can't find it in the world and we've been deceived by friends or thrown under the bus, he's always there because he is always love, and he's always truth, and he's always honesty. That's the picture of God in our lessons for today. God is three persons who love. Jesus leads Nicodemus to see that in the text in John. The one God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Nicodemus understands that God comes from, that Jesus comes from God. Rabbi, we know that you're a teacher who comes from God. No one can do these signs unless God is with him. In verse 13, Jesus hints to Nicodemus that he is the Son. And in verse 5, he completes the Trinity talking about the Holy Spirit. Jesus is honest and Jesus is truthful. He says, "Truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Well, John writes in his letter, chapter 4, God is love. At the baptism and transfiguration, Jesus the Father says, "This is my Son, whom I love." The God who is Trinity is a God of love. Thus, he is just being himself when he sends his Son to die on the cross, punishing sin in honesty and truth. And we can trust and we can rejoice in the fact that his Son is the embodied expression of his love. God loves us. What binds these Father, Son, and Holy Spirit together, therefore, is indeed a love triangle, but one quite different from the one that Billy Joel sings about. So I think it's safe for us today to say that God does want us to live in a love triangle. His love triangle. Look at it this way. We use the triangle as a symbol for the Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. 3 points. They show that God is equal, but God wants us to get caught in his love triangle, where we experience the Father's love, the Son's love, and the Holy Spirit's love, having been created in love by the Father, having been saved out of love by the Son, and led in life through the love of the Holy Spirit. Through his Son, our Redeemer, no greater love has any man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. His word and his sacraments put us at the center of his love. In the middle of this triangle, we are baptized and we receive his truth and honesty and love as he puts his name on us. Our sins are buried with Christ and we're raised up in Christ again to new life. And it is sustained by none other than the Holy Spirit, sustained in love through his word and the Lord's Supper. You know, in our search for love and acceptance and tenderness, God invites us into his love triangle where we know him as our Heavenly Father, providing all that we need in life. He invites us to enter through the work of his Son, whose suffering and death took God's wrath away. And he invites us to enter in the power of the Holy Spirit, who lives in us and guides us on the way. So that in God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are caught up into who he is. We can be ourselves around him, trusting him, loving him, and being totally honest with him. And he will always be honest, truthful, and loving to us. Amen.